John said, since this is your last time doing this, if there are things you've been wanting to say and haven't said, go ahead today. Take 2 hours if you want. Because people ate a big breakfast before they came. They're not in a hurry to eat lunch. It's not going to be anywhere close to that. But I am glad to be with you this morning. Kind of y'all to have me. I drove all the way over from Ashland. You know, a really long trip, so which is where I live. Okay. I think everybody wants to feel like our lives make a difference and that we're having a positive impact on others. Some of us do that by giving of ourselves in service to others, such as volunteering to help on Meals and Wheels, local food bank, working in the church's kitchen to help serve meals for other people. I remember when I was growing up in Vinton, Virginia, over in the mountains, there was an elderly woman, at least she seemed elderly to me when I was a child, named Miss Jenny Ruddle. And whenever there was a church supper, Miss Jenny worked in the kitchen, ran the kitchen for years and years. I still can remember her homemade rolls, which were wonderful. And back then, we had church dinners a lot more often than we have now. It seems now we're too busy to do those things. But it seemed like we had one about every other week on a weeknight, and everybody in the church came, and boy, it was good food. Miss Jenny lived in a big two-story white frame farmhouse on a farm on the outskirts of Vinton. And when her health no longer allowed her to live in that house, she moved into the Methodist retirement home in Roanoke. Miss Jenny didn't have the money to move in, but because she had worked for so many years, given of herself, volunteering her time at the church, the people in that church made sure she would be able to stay there. Other people impact other people's lives in Christ through their financial support of programs and ministries of the church. Sometimes we hear the terms social investing or impact investing, meaning investing in organizations that impact social needs. Well, churches have been doing that forever. Churches have been investing in people's spiritual lives, feeding the hungry, housing the homeless, mission trips to other cultures that give our youth exposure to different cultures. Some churches give scholarships to high school seniors who are going to college to pursue church-related vocations. Some people are setting up special funds for those purposes in their churches. Aldersgate United Methodist Church up in Alexandria, where my brother is a member, is a fairly large church. And about 5 years ago, a member of that church who maintained a very low profile in the church but attended on a regular basis called the minister and said, do you have some time I could come by and meet you in your office? It's something I want to talk about. And the minister said, sure, when do you want to come by? So when he went in to meet with the minister, he said, I'm giving $250,000 to create a fund called the Not Too Far From Here Fund. I want this to be totally anonymous, and I want this fund to be used to help people not too far from here who are hungry, who need a place to live. Over the last 5 years, and he said, I'll replenish the fund. I want it used. I'll replenish it as it's spent. They've given out over $500,000 to people in that area to help them with short-term housing. They may have lost their job, couldn't pay the rent, paid the rent for a month till they could get another job, help people with medical needs. So this fund has had so much impact. Over $500,000 worth over the past 5 years, and the donor keeps replenishing it. So you never know when, excuse me, when somebody is moved to do something like that. That person got moved because they were driving in a car and heard the song Not Too Far From Here. I was telling John before the service, the last year and a half, I've been going to local churches within the diocese to talk about ways people could make gifts to the church that maybe they had not thought about making. And I've been doing this for 30-some years, mainly at colleges, Randolph-Macon, Sweetbriar, Mary Washington, others, before I started doing it in the context of the church about 6 years ago. And time and again, I've seen how much joy people receive when they make gifts that have impact on other people's lives that a lot of times they never dreamed they'd be able to make that kind of gift. One of the things, some people have given money to do a lot of the things you're doing here with your food ministry, your garden, and reaching out. At one church in Roanoke, where I belong, somebody had funded and set up an endowed fund for a speaker series where each year they have a noted, nationally known theologian come in and lead a Bible study for about 3 or 4 nights and invite the entire community to come in. And that's been a very wonderful thing, and some other churches have done that. So what I've been doing for the last year and a half, as I said, has been going to local churches. Excuse me. To talk about planned giving, but planned giving, I like to refer to it as creative giving. Joey Brizard does this for a living, so he does this day in and day out. But creative giving, again, is helping people think of ways they can make gifts they never dreamed they could make using assets they hadn't thought about using. It was 2 years ago this month that I was doing one of these presentations after the Sunday service. And I said, if you're getting ready to sell real estate that has a lot of capital gains in it, if you give part of the proceeds of that sale to the church, the charitable deduction you get for that could possibly offset the capital gains tax you'd have to pay on that sale. And so there was a couple there in the church in the early 80s, and the husband came up afterwards. He said, do you have anything in writing that you could give me about this? I want to talk to our CPA. He said, we're getting ready to sell a house down in Kitty Hawk that we've had since the middle 80s and used as rental property. But at our age now, we don't want to worry about the maintenance of that, so we want to sell it the first part of next year. And he said, it's been fully depreciated so that the whole sale is going to be all capital gains. So he met with the CPA, came back a week later, and said, I talked with the CPA, and the CPA said, when you sell this for $300,000, you're going to have to pay $45,000 in capital gains tax, or you can make a $45,000 gift to your church and not pay any capital gains because the charitable deduction will wipe out that capital gains tax. So he said, we never dreamed we could make a gift like this to our church. So they made that $45,000 gift, and the church now has a new van to transport the youth on their mission trips and transport the elderly to Shrine Mon and other places. So I told John last Sunday I was at St. Margaret's Episcopal Church up in Woodbridge, Dale City, and told this story at a presentation after the last service in the fellowship hall. And there was a man, I would guess, in his 50s there, and he said, so you mean if you're getting ready to sell real estate that has a lot of capital gains, there's a way to avoid paying that capital gains and allow me to make a gift to St. Margaret's? And I said, possibly. So he came up afterwards and said, I'm in the process of selling a commercial condo in D.C., and it's been fully depreciated like your example. I'm going to have to pay a huge amount of capital gains. He said, you've just told me a way I could make a very significant gift to St. Margaret's I never dreamed I could make. And the rector was standing there, and she said, "We've hit a home run already." So that's been the fun part of for me of doing what I've done the last year and a half, going to local churches and planting seeds and seeing people make gifts they never dreamed they could make. But seeing how much joy that brings to them, because like this man said, I never dreamed I could make that kind of gift. And the same thing for the older couple who made the $45,000 gift to their church. Other people who are 70 and a half or older have found out when we do these presentations that they can transfer up to $100,000 a year to the church from the IRAs without paying income tax when that money comes out of the IRA. And so, and it goes towards satisfying their required annual minimum distribution. There's nobody here this morning in that age range of 70 and a half or older. But if you know people who are, this could apply. So what we've seen at local churches over the last year and a half are several people in different churches transferring money from the RA, which before they considered as a frozen asset, an asset they couldn't use without paying income tax. And now they use that as the asset to make gifts to the church, usually early in the year to take care of that required annual minimum distribution and pay off their pledge in one fell swoop, which treasurers love to get that money in the treasury and know what they've got to work with for the year. Other people, with the stock market being as high as it has the last few years, have very highly appreciated securities with a lot of capital gains, and they've started to use those to make gifts to the church, usually paying off their pledge in one fell swoop or helping pay for a capital need in the church. The diocese got a call that they referred to me about a month ago. It was an older couple in a church in Northern Virginia who said, "We've got a lot of highly appreciated securities, and I want to use these securities to get rid of that capital gains and create a charitable fund that I can use to make gifts for the next few years to the church to pay off my pledges and some capital needs. Is there such a fund?" And I said, "That's called a donor advised fund. And you can set up one with Fidelity or some commercial groups." But the diocese, as of a year ago, September, offers a donor advised fund through the Episcopal Church Foundation. And for somebody who's in a high income year that needs a larger charitable deduction, they can set up that fund this year, get that charitable deduction to help offset that 1 year blip in income, but then take years to distribute it. If you set it up through the Episcopal Church Foundation, their stipulation is at least 51% needs to eventually go to some Episcopal entity. So you could make your annual gifts to St. Francis, you could make gifts to Shrine Mont, or other Episcopal entities through this donor advised fund. So again, last Sunday up at St. Margaret's, I told the story I just told. And the man came up afterwards and said, "I sure am glad I came this morning," because he said, "Our company recently told us that they're going to buy out people my age and older. They're going to buy out our retirement program before the end of the year, and I'm going to get $100,000 in one lump, and it's going to kill me on income tax." So he said, "You've just told me how I can put it into a donor advised fund and get a deduction to balance that out, and then I can use that for the next few years or many years to pay my pledges to the church and help with capital needs." So again, it's plan giving is more creative giving, just helping people realize that there are other ways to make gifts maybe they hadn't thought about making. So as you think and pray about how you want to make gifts to St. Francis, hopefully some of these ideas will be of some help or interest to you. I've got a number of brochures I'm going to put out on the table during your lunch on these different types of gifts. Go into more detail. If you're interested, pick up as many as you want. As John said, this is my last day, so I don't want to have to carry a lot of them back to the diocese. One, in closing, last story I'd like to tell is a story that I heard recently from a Methodist minister about a couple who went to a memorial service for a young man who'd been killed serving in Afghanistan. And during the service, the minister announced that this young man's parents had given $100,000 to set up a memorial to their son. So a couple who was leaving the service, the wife said to the husband, she said, "Wasn't that a wonderful thing that Joey's parents did to set up that fund as a memorial to him?" And she turned to her husband and said, "What are we going to do?" And he said, "What are you talking about? Our son came back from Afghanistan alive and uninjured." She said, "That's what I'm talking about." So I ask us to think about, what are we going to do to thank God for all the blessings he's given us? Thank you.
Thank you, Deal. That's wonderful. Thank you very much. During the potluck, if you want to ask Deal some specific questions, you can sit with him at his table, and he'd be happy to talk with you. And also, this is one of the brochures that he's got. He's got a few others. This is a general one, Share Our Spirit, and they'll be on the table with the brochures, wherever that turns out to be. So you can look for that. That'll be something for you, too. And also, one final reminder is last week we began distributing pledge cards for 2018. If you did not get one, here they are. And they'll be in the vestibule as you go out. So I encourage you to think about that. It helps the vestry to plan as best as possible for you. So, all right. Let's stand and confess our faith.